Good morning, friends, and another heavy, tough week here. Wow. Hard to believe what we're witnessing happening in Ukraine and Europe right now. And very interesting, having just come out of Revelation, and now we see the four horsemen are out of their stable for sure. This is a concerning time, a heavy week, no doubt. And so I wanted to start this morning with just a prayer for the people of Ukraine, the world. So I'm going to launch right into that. And this is an adaptation from the Common Prayer, a liturgy for ordinary radicals. So we pray together this morning. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Amen. Have mercy on us. Grant us peace. For the unbearable toil of our sinful world, we plead for remission. For the terror of absence from our beloved ones who have lost their lives, we plead for your comfort. For the scandalous presence of death in your creation, we plead for the resurrection. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Grant us peace. Come, Holy Spirit, and heal all that is broken in our lives, in our streets, in our cities, in our nations, in our alliances, and in our world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, this is going to be a bit of a different morning for you because I just want to teach in a bit parabolically, you could say, through story. And so before we do that, though, I want to invite you, if you didn't know already from the Nexus Weekly, to get some elements for communion, maybe the wine and the juice, wine or juice, bread, substitute, whatever it is. So I want to take us to communion at the end of our morning, but I want to simply tell us a story with a point, but a true story that happened actually not too long ago. So make sure you have your elements, and then we will dive in to our story. In the summer of 2020, a strange national news story began to play out across all of the United States. And for the span of a few weeks in 2020, it seemed to catch the jittery attention of North America, because all over North America, people had started receiving completely baffling packages in the mail, packages they had not ordered. And even more mysterious, the packages seemed to have come from China. They were marked with Chinese writing on them from China Post. And inside the packages, the mystery only grew. You see, the only thing inside these packages were seeds. Unmarked, tiny little Ziploc bags containing seeds. And there was no explanation inside, just a mysterious package with Chinese writing arriving in people's mailboxes with seeds in them. And we aren't just talking about a few dozen or hundred of these packages. Thousands of these packages were showing up in American mailboxes. And maybe you received a similar package just this week, in the last few days. Yes, the joke is out, I suppose. I thought to lend a little bit of mystique to the story, we would send you your own little mysterious package of seeds. And I'm curious, especially if you can leave them in the comments, I'm curious what your reaction was when you received this package on Friday or Saturday. By the way, if you didn't get one, I apologize. We don't have everyone's mailing address, but we tried to get as many people as possible. And Sarah Holmes did an amazing job putting this together, and her and Murray did the delivery. So I'm grateful to them for that. That was amazing. But if you got one of these packages on Friday, I'm so curious, what was your initial thought when you received this package? Did you even notice it? Did it weird you out? What did you do with the seeds? Were you like, this is strange? I'm just so curious. So if you got one of these packages and are watching, can you let me know in the comments what your reaction was when you received your own mysterious seed package in the mail? And you see, when this happened in 2020 to thousands of Americans, well, this would have been strange in a normal year, in a normal time, but this was July 2020. And if you can remember back to that time, most of us were in various stages of lockdown, right? Kind of like now, I suppose. But back then, the whole experience was brand new, and everyone was anxious back then about what they were bringing into their house. I mean, surely we all remember wiping down our groceries with Lysol wipes. I mean, that was a strange time. And on top of that, people are wary of bringing things into their home. These packages were coming from China in a time when a virus from China had shut down the world. They arrived at a time when everyone was on high alert, you could say, and the mysterious packages certainly didn't sit well with those who received them. In fact, the first time one of these packages made it into the attention of the media was on a local TV news station in Utah on July 22nd, 2020. And within a month of that date, citizens from all 50 states in America had reported receiving the exact same kind of package, the exact same kind of package you received. And so for the span of a few weeks, this was a huge storyline. What is happening? And of course, it set off all kinds of conspiracy theories. And if you look through online forums, some of them are wild. Here are just a snippet of a few of them. It's a bioweapon to destroy crops in the US. I saw on TV that the seeds were filled with cocaine. They're laced with some kind of poison or virus, some dangerous organisms or chemicals. Don't open them up. They probably grow plants. The murder hornets like a lot. Deep state, faux right wing, unrestricted warfare from the CCP. Plot twist, Trump is behind this. It's the whole beast system. The beast knows. But what if this is a cure for the lab-created COVID virus? If the media is pushing this story, you know it's complete BS. Now, while a lot of these online theories were completely wild, here's the thing. The U.S. Department of Agriculture wasn't taking any chances on these packages either. They weren't willing to rule out that maybe this was some kind of terrorism by mail, either by someone trying to sneak in invasive plants into the country, some kind of bioterrorism. And so the USDA, they asked anyone who had received the package like this to get it to them as soon as possible so they could do some testing. And of course, sure, the USDA thought this seems like a rather odd way of attacking the country, but 9/11 and being attacked by airplanes seems strange before 9/11. They couldn't rule anything out. And so the USDA began collecting these packages and they sent out a stern warning to anyone who received one. Do not plant the seeds. Do not burn the seeds. Do not put seeds into the garbage. Again, do not plant seeds. And of course, while it was no doubt strange, it was being taken very seriously by the USDA. And over the course of a few weeks and after rounds of rigorous testing, the USDA eventually concluded that the seeds were, well, just seeds. In fact, they ended up cataloging over 250 different species of seeds people had been sent, all of them from China. But having studied the seeds and nothing nefarious seeming to be going on in the background here, no answer to the mystery, the media coverage faded as this bizarre story from early COVID was largely forgotten. And in the meantime, the USDA ended up concluding that what had happened had been a massive case of something called brushing. Now, brushing is kind of tricky to explain, but essentially it's essentially an e-commerce scam where companies in China compete for the best rankings and reviews on platforms like Amazon. And one of the best ways, of course, to get more sales and better reviews is to fake them. And so brushing is a scheme to fake sales and reviews. And what happens is essentially this. Disturbingly, it is apparently quite easy for companies around the world to get thousands or millions of Americans' personal details from the internet. And this, of course, doesn't mean that you've been hacked. It just means someone can get your mailing address very easily off the internet. And with that in hand, what these companies do is they set up an Amazon account in your name and with your address. But for a company like Amazon to verify on their platform whether a review is real or not, they demand that a package actually be delivered to the address of the account. And if they know that a package has been received at the address, then your review is considered authentic. And this is where companies are kind of genius, if not very devious. Picture it this way. I'll give you an example. Let's say I go into business and I'm selling headphones, expensive headphones. They're like Beats, but they're Brad's headphones. And I need a lot of sales, of course. I need a lot of reviews to get noticed on Amazon, but I can't just send a bunch of free headphones. That would bankrupt me, too expensive. So what I would do is I would make up an account with your address, say, and then I would send you a package with something cheap in it. Amazon would then know that a transaction actually happened. So all I need to do is send you something really, really cheap, like seeds. Amazon sees that your address has received something from me, and now I'm free to use this made-up account to leave a review on Brad's headphones. So by sending you seeds worth pennies, I can now write a review on Amazon saying, wow, these $200 headphones are fantastic. You do that enough times, well, people will notice your headphones and maybe buy the real thing. Again, devious, kind of ingenious, right? But here's the thing. That alone to me is an interesting story of how this all played out. And it happens to be the official explanation of what happened according to the USDA. The great seed phenomenon of 2020 was a massive case of e-commerce brushing. End of story and a caution about reviews you read on Amazon. But that isn't the end of the story. It gets stranger. You see, investigative journalist Chris Heath, he wasn't happy to let the story end that way because he was like, who's holding Amazon accountable for this? What was Amazon doing to prevent this brushing schemes, he wondered. How do companies get away with this and why isn't Amazon cracking down on it? So looking for some accountability and an explanation, off to Amazon, he goes to get behind the story. He wants details and accountability. And when he gets through to Amazon officials, what he discovered is that they had a completely different story. According to Amazon, the great seed phenomenon of 2020 wasn't brushing at all. Its explanation was far more mundane. You see, according to Amazon, all of these thousands of Americans from every state getting seeds had in fact ordered those seeds. They just forgot. Now, at first, Chris Heath was very suspicious about this. I mean, this storyline felt like an attempt from Amazon to just ignore the problem. But every time he inquired or got through to some executive at Amazon, the response was always the same. Thousands and thousands of people across America had ordered seeds. They had ordered them and forgot about them. Which is strange. What? How do you forget that you ordered seeds and then end up thinking you've received some kind of bioterrorism package in the mail? No matter how much Chris inquired of Amazon, no matter how many meetings he had, this was the story and they were sticking with it. They wouldn't budge. This wasn't brushing. People ordered seeds and forgot. And so Chris was unsatisfied, and so he tried to hunt down as many people as he could who had received one of these mysterious package of seeds. And he asked them one by one, going through them, is it possible I could take a look at your order history from Amazon? And his research, of course, took him across the country, took him into scores of people's homes. And sure enough, when he met with them, went through their order history, what he found over and over again was exactly what Amazon had said. These people had ordered seeds and then forgot. This story plays out time and time again for Chris Heath. A typical story would be Lori Culley. She was the first person to bring this into the media coverage. She was the first person sort of to go public with the mysterious package. And when Chris sat down with Lori for the first time, looked through her order history, well, there it was, April 2020. She had ordered 100 clematis seeds for $1.99, 100 clematis vine seeds for $1.53, and 25 wisteria seeds for $1.99. Looking back, Lori couldn't believe what she was seeing. Neither could Chris. But this story played out hundreds of times all across the country, the same story. People who had ordered seeds in April and forgot about them by July. Now, of course, there's a good question. Well, why had the seeds taken so long to arrive? That is a pretty big delay. Some of it can be chalked up to maybe a three-month delay. You forget about these things. But consider the world in April 2020. Most of the world had just entered the uncertainty of COVID lockdowns. And with everyone unsure of how long they're going to be locked down, they start thinking about what? Things they can do around the house. Things like gardening. And so they log on to Amazon and order some seeds. It's spring, it's planting season, so it's not at all surprising that a lot of people would be ordering seeds. Now, of course, what most people didn't know is that their seeds were coming from companies in China. And moreover, Chris goes on to say, most of the seed orders he witnessed, they were very small expenses, orders between $2 and $5. That's easy to forget. But on top of that, if you add in the confusion, the chaos of COVID and what that's doing to our mind, on top of a three-month delay between people ordering and receiving, voila, you've got yourself a very easy purchase to forget. But what makes sense of that three-month delay is, well, what was happening in China? They had one of course, the strictest lockdowns anywhere in the world, and it was, for the most part, very successful. So there's a good explanation for why these seed companies couldn't ship or immediately fulfill their orders. The whole country was in one of the strictest lockdowns in the world. They couldn't ship. And then, of course, you add in media coverage. You receive a mysterious package of seeds in the mail, and instead of thinking, huh, wait, did I order these? You think to yourself, wait, I saw about this on Facebook and in that news story. And then what happened to me must be what happened to these other people as well. And you start stringing all of these events together. And what Chris concludes is this: thousands of people simply forgot. Will Gordon, a fact checker at The Atlantic, arrived at the same conclusion. He said this: people who believed that they had received mysterious unsolicited seed packets from China actually received e-commerce orders that they had made months before and that they had forgotten about. These people, plain and simple, forgot. Not just a few, in mass, thousands. Over 20,000 packages were brought in by the USDA alone. They figured there was at least double that out there. Thousands of people in a span of a single few weeks all forgot they'd ordered seeds. It's like a sudden case of mass amnesia, and it turns into this national panic about bioterrorism. And I find this whole story interesting because it reminds us of something incredibly important about us humans. We are forgetful creatures. And the reason these people forgot about their seed orders is because people forget. Humans are forgetful creatures. We don't remember well. We are people who forget. And that is why I have asked you to bring this morning the elements of communion with you: wine, juice, bread, whatever it is that you have in your house, whatever it is that you're holding this morning to represent the elements of communion, Eucharist. I've asked you to do that because we forget. You see, the reason that Jesus, in his farewell meal with his disciples, the reason he asked us to remember his death on the cross is because Jesus knew, as humans, we're prone to forget. And we're prone to forget far more important things than ordering seeds. You see, Jesus wanted us to commit to remembering the cross because some of the most important truths about life are revealed on Jesus' cross. Truths that are so easily forgotten, especially now in a world of chaos and looming war. And I want to remind you of those truths that are so easy to forget this morning. Two of them in particular. And the first one is this: we forget who God is. So many of us, of course, we constantly wrestle with perceptions about who God is. We wrestle with the demons of faith upbringing or parents or whatever it is that has distorted the image of God in our minds. We constantly forget who God is, what God's nature is. We sometimes think of ourselves at odds, an enemy of God, but what the cross reveals to us is that we trust and believe in a God who would rather die than hurt or harm his enemies. And the truth of the matter is that God is love, complete love. And in that love, it matters because what God thinks of all of us, what God thinks of you, is that you are delightful. God's posture to each and every one of us is unconditional love. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter what you think about God. What matters is what God thinks about you, and God is love. God loves us, demonstrated visibly and perfectly on the cross. It's not if we believe in love, but if love believes in us, and it does. God is love, and at the cross, what we see is the love of God poured out for humanity. We forget so easily who God is, but the cross reminds us, and that's why we come back here regularly. The cross reminds us God is love. The second thing that we forget is that the cross ushered in a new truth about our world. The world no longer revolves around the truth of pragmatic power and violence, but around the divine truth of unconditional love. Consider for a moment, I've been thinking about this scene this week as things have been playing out with Ukraine. Think about the scene in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, we find Jesus standing trial and he's put back and forth between all of these officials, the religious authorities, Roman officials. And of course, he finally comes to Pilate, right? Pilate is the stand-in, the local stand-in for the Caesar. And they're having a conversation together. And it's of complete interest to me what Jesus and Pilate say. Consider this. Jesus answered Pilate. He said, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. I love that question. It's a great question. Pilate asks, "What is truth?" It's a great question. It's a question we are facing right now in the world, right now. What is truth? Is the truth that the country with the most nuclear weapons gets to do what it wants? Is the truth that violence and power trump everything else? Is the truth that sanctions and money and bombs and tanks and is it true that those are the true axis the world rotates on? And the thing is this, watching the news this week, every appearance would suggest yes. But Jesus goes to the cross in order to show us the truth, to testify to the truth. The axis of our world, it really spins by the unconditional, self-sacrificial love of God. You know, I'm reminded of a great quote from David Bentley Hart. He says this, "Christ showed the world" was a text that could be read differently, according to the grammar, not of power, but of agape. In the cross, and why we remind ourselves of it is because we forget that God is love, but we also forget that Jesus' death and resurrection was a victory. It was the beginning of a new era. All authority given to Jesus, and that means that the rules of the game have now changed. We no longer live in a world where we have to operate by the person with the most nukes wins. No, there's a new way to live. There's a new order, a new kingdom, and it comes through self-sacrificial love, the self-sacrificial love of God seen, demonstrated on the cross. And we forget that. We forget it. And so we come to the table, the Eucharist table, to remind ourselves that we forget so easily in this world of chaos and confusion. We need to be reminded. So as you take your elements, as you get your elements, I want to read you a short poem from Blind Man at the Gate. And it goes this way, "The Absurd Victory of the Cross." Who's the greatest conqueror in history? Christ Jesus, it is he. Consider the testimony. Not by sword and shield, not by nukes and napalm, but by a cross and a crown of thorns. Christ conquered a world of evil, not by an F-16, but by John 3:16. Jesus won his victory, not with an aircraft carrier, but a cross carrier. Christ gained his kingdom. This message is the hope for the world. Call me crazy, call me deluded, call me naive, but also call me a Christian, because this is what Christians believe. It's absurd, it's a scandal, it's an offense, and it's the gospel of the cross. So raise the cross above every flag. In the end, every flag will fall, but the cross of Christ cannot fall, because the cross takes the blow, absorbs the hate, bears the sin, ends revenge, shames the tyrants, disarms the devil, wins the victory. Christ has become king by the absurd victory of the cross. As you take your bread and drink your cup this morning, may we not forget. May we remember that God is love. God's posture to us is one of complete, unconditional love. And what Jesus did on the cross, why we remember it, is so that we can be reminded that there is a new and better way, the true way of love. On the cross, Jesus takes the blow, absorbs the hate, bears the sin, and ends revenge, disarms the devil, and wins the victory. This is what we remember. And so now, take the bread and eat the body of Christ broken for you, and take the cup, the blood of Christ shed for you.